Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and it's really, really great to be here with you. Thank you for pressing play. I am enjoying your company, virtual though it may be. Today we are finishing off a series. I think we're finishing it, and I think it's been a series. So I started the year with goals and then systems to help you reach the goals. And today I'm talking about rewards for when you have reached your goals, which, you know, they may be goals for the end of the year, so you might need to come and re-listen to this one in December when you think, oh, I've reached my goals. Now, what did Ruth say about rewards again? But, you know, it follows on nice and neatly from what we've been talking about over the past couple of podcasts. And I am recording this episode really early, much, much earlier than I normally would. So one of the things that I really encourage everyone to do, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, is to build margin in your life so that you have a bit of wiggle room, so that when things change, you have space to do what you still need to do. And in my life, next week, because of parent health issues that aren't serious, they just are what they are, I need to block out just about the whole of next week. So where I would normally talk to Scotty this morning, which I have done, and then wait a little bit and then record the podcast and then wait a little bit and edit and upload the podcast and all that, you know, that nice little bit of margin that I have in my life, I'm doing it all today. You never know, I might get hooked and end up doing it all on the Thursday every other time, but it's worth a try. But if my voice sounds a little bit tired, it's because we've already done the get up early in the morning, go into the radio station, talk with Scotty, record, come home, and now I'm recording the podcast for you. And I normally would record the podcast first thing in the morning so that I sound really chirpy, and it's now afternoon, so I may not sound so chirpy, but you have what you have, and I hope that this is a helpful podcast for you. I have been thinking about this reward thing all week. I have written about it for my new book, and I've written a whole chapter on it, and I have written my blog post on this idea of rewards. And as you will hear in my chat with Scotty this morning, I'm still turning it over in my brain, and I'm still trying to figure out what the best way is to reward ourselves for a job well done, and what sort of ways work to motivate ourselves and different kinds of people. So have a listen to what I have to Scotty, and then I'm going to chat with you more about it afterwards and hopefully be clear in what I'm saying.
Good morning, this is Ultra 6.5 Life Hacks with Ruth Amos. Good morning.
Good morning, Scotty.
I like the Life Hacks name. I reckon it's good because pretty much everything, you talk about a broad range of things, but they're generally really handy tips for living life.
I hope so. That's what I'm trying to do.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, so far since I started talking to you this year, we've covered setting your goals for the year, putting systems in place to reach the goals for the year, and so I thought I'd talk about rewards. So when you reaching these goals and achieving these goals, what are you going to do to reward yourself?
Yeah, see, I had an experience about that. When I lost all that weight, I lost like 30 kilos, and my reward was pizza every night for the next week.
Exactly. And it's the same thing when I'm writing a book. It's like people say, oh, you should reward yourself for writing a book. And I'm thinking, well, at what point do I reward myself, and how much ice cream can I actually eat? You know, this isn't a good reward. And I think when we think of rewards, we always think of something like that, you know, some extra chocolate or extra food, or even something like, oh, going away for a night or something like, which for a lot of us is just not in the budget. So yeah. You just think, well, why, I can't afford to reward myself, why would I bother? But I've been thinking about it a bit, listening to a few podcasts and things, and a lot of people, and this is an unfinished thought in my brain, Scotty, I'd really love to hear what other people think about this, but I think for a lot of people, the reward is the job well done. So my reward for writing a book is that I've written a book, you know, like I've
and
got
the
a
satisfaction
book.
Of going, here's a book, and yeah. I've written it.
The reward for doing the dishes is that my kitchen is clean when I look at it.
The reward for painting our lounge room, which I'm doing at the moment, is standing back going, this looks really good.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So if you can think about it in that sort of terms, where the reward actually links up to the job that you're doing. So I do, you know, in terms of writing a book, it's such a long-term goal. What I've been doing every morning is making myself a nice real coffee and taking that into the office with me as I start writing to motivate myself to write. But that's not a reward for writing. It's just something to get me in there and writing. So, there's a bit of that. But yeah, I'm thinking that the reward for doing a job is having the job actually done.
So there's kind of two aspects, because I know with our children, we used to talk about consequences. So we'd talk about natural consequences, and then we talk about forced consequences, you know. So if you do this, then you're going to be grounded for the next day, you know. But the other one is, if you do this, then there's going to be, like, you're going to be unhappy with yourself. You're going to be disappointed. It might mean that you get sick, you know, like which is a natural consequence. So, like, you could almost say the same with rewards, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with kids, if the more the consequence relates to the action, the more it makes sense to them not to do the action. Whereas if it's a forced consequence, they often, like, feel like, well, that was a bit arbitrary and, you know, I don't know what they're talking about. And I know with kids you have to have both, because sometimes you're trying to train in good behaviour where the consequence doesn't show up for years. But yeah, for us, like, it's and it's the same with rewards. Like, the more the reward relates to the behaviour, the more it makes sense in our brains that that's what it's
like,
about.
Well, we just should do this.
That's why I'm bothering. That's why I'm putting in the hard work. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's our approach on this? What do we do?
That's a good question, Scotty. See, I told you it's only halfway thought through. I'm really trying. But yeah, what should we do? I guess look at what our goals are and what the natural reward of that is going to be, and maybe even write that out and put it in front of us so that we can remember that that's what we're working towards and that's what the aim of the thing is. Yeah.
And sometimes it's not bad to have a reward that you go, you know what, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to take a 2-day break. Like, that's, you know, I think that's okay too.
For sure. Yeah. Like, whatever you have to do to get yourself to do the thing. But yes. Yeah. So yeah, there's so many different types of people and your brain works in different kinds of ways. And I guess exploring different rewards and different systems for making yourself do things is, you know, you might find that, so the podcast I was listening to, the lady hasn't been diagnosed with ADHD, but she's pretty sure she has it. And she's like, people have said, oh, do it this way for so long. And I found that doing it some completely other way, thinking about the reward in a completely other way, works for me. And I think sometimes we listen to advice, like advice from me, become really rigid about the right way to do things. And, you know, neurodivergent or whatever, it doesn't work for our brain. It doesn't get us doing the thing. And then you feel like you failed where you haven't failed.
Yeah.
You're just not approaching it in a way that works for you. So
yeah,
explore, do
what works
experiment.
For you. Yeah.
Think about try different ways and find something that works. And it won't work all the time. I've talked to you about star charts before, and I think they're a really good way to kickstart a new habit by giving yourself a little sticker reward every time you do it. But I think that works for about 2 weeks, and then it's over. But, you know, try it. See if it works. If it doesn't work, try something else. Explore and get curious about what works for you and see if you can kickstart your behaviour that way.
For me, pizza's always the go-to, and then it's got negative consequences.
Yeah. So explore a new reward, Scotty. Try something different.
Good advice. RuthAmos.com.au. Thank you, Ruth. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. So one of my cousins just happened to catch me on the radio today, and he wrote to me to say, heard you on the radio. He didn't even know I did this, so it was very nice to chat with you, Luke. But one of the things he said was, oh, I'm just ducking down to the shops now to get myself some stickers for my star chart, which I'm not sure was a take-home message from this morning. But anyway, I mean, the thing is that there's lots of different ways that you can reward yourself. And there's lots of advice there in terms of how to get yourself moving on a project or on something that you want to accomplish, a new habit, a new lifestyle change, and that sort of thing. And what Scotty said is very true, that you tend to, when you think about, oh, what's the thing that's going to make me feel the most treated, the most excited about the reward? Well, for me, I know it comes back to food, chocolate, pizza. All these things are actually engineered to have the right fat to sugar ratio, would you believe, to make us feel really good about having them. It feels like a reward. It all comes down to brain chemicals, and these unhealthy foods have the right brain chemicals to make us feel like they're giving us a reward. And so they're the easiest go-to. But if you, like me, want to live a healthy life and actually feel good about yourself, and we know that if you eat pizza all the time, Scotty, you feel pretty blah. And I have to say that I know what Scotty's eating at the moment, and he's doing really well in terms of treating his body to the foods that will make him feel really great. And that's what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about body shaming or fat shaming or anything. And I eat junk food as much as the next person and probably more than many. But I'm trying to retrain my brain to think healthy foods that make my body feel good are the foods that I want to go to. And so if that is the case, then rewarding myself with junky food every time I do some other habit that I want to improve on, or some other part of a project that I want to complete, is counterproductive. It's going to, in the end, make my brain more foggy and make me more lethargic and have less energy and all that kind of stuff. So that's the only reason why I'm saying food is not the greatest of rewards. Now, another thing about this whole reward process is that a lot of people say, look, think of the minimum part of this project that you can possibly do, the smallest possible thing that you can do, and then you trick your brain into doing that small thing, and once you've tricked your brain into doing it, you'll keep going and do the whole thing that you want to do. So, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying that this is possibly good advice for you. But as I was saying to Scotty, you need to explore all these different options and think about what works for you. The way that this particular process works is that I think, okay, I want to write every day, and the smallest possible number of words that I can write to make a difference is 300 words. So I'm going to tell myself that each day I'm going to write 300 words. And when I sit at my computer and start writing, I'm aiming to make that number. And the whole idea is that I've sort of tricked myself into it. So once I start writing, when I get to 300, I'm not just going to stop at that number. I'm going to keep going because I'm excited and I've started the process and I've got my brain creatively flowing now. And so I'm going to get myself into gear by saying, I only have to do this smallest amount. Or for other people, it's like if they want to exercise every day, what's the smallest possible thing that they need to do to exercise? Well, it's put on their gym shoes, their sneakers, their runners, whatever you want to call them. So if I want to make myself run every day, if I just tell myself all I have to do is put on my sneakers, then you put on your sneakers and then you're like, well, I've done that now. I may as well go for a run. You see how it works? And or if it's like, well, okay, I only have to run to the end of the street. I don't have to keep going. But once you've run to the end of the street, you think, well, I'm feeling quite good about this now. I feel really energetic. I'm going to keep running. And some days you don't and you stop, or you stop at your 300 words, or you stop wherever you've said you're allowed to stop. And on those days, you are still winning because you've done the smallest possible thing. And you've done what you've told yourself that you need to do to keep moving forward. So this works for a lot of people, and it does work for me to say that. So I do have a 300 word limit on my novel at the moment, or I tell myself that I must work on it for at least half an hour. And some days I can only work on it for half an hour. But the idea is that if I have the time and I have the energy and the creative juices are flowing after that half hour, that I just keep going and going. And it works. It gets me going and I feel good about it. And yes, sometimes when I get to the gym and I can only walk on the treadmill, but I've gotten to the gym, then I tell myself very clearly for half an hour, I am winning because I am here. Today, I am winning because I am here. And all good. So yeah, that's good. But I'm quite good at doing that sort of thing. That's how my brain works. I'm good at making myself do stuff. That's why it works for me to work from home for myself. I do not get sucked into watching Netflix. I do not get sucked into scrolling social media. Not very often. I mean, yes, sometimes, but not very often, because I have the kind of brain that's good at forcing myself to do stuff. It's genetics and I'm grateful for it, but it doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It's just the way I'm made. Okay, so please hear that loudly and clearly. For some people, doing the minimum possible thing to trick themselves into doing more feels just like manipulation, and they don't like manipulation. They don't even like being manipulated by themselves to do the thing that they want to do. That's not how they work. And so having that, oh, well, just do 5 minutes thing just makes them feel icky because they feel like they've been manipulated into doing whatever. And the same thing is if you tell yourself, okay, well, once I have written X amount, I can have ice cream. Or once I've decluttered such and such a room, I can go and get myself a piece of chocolate cake or, you know, that sort of thing. That also doesn't work for these people because they basically go, well, hang on a second, I'm an adult and I can have ice cream whenever I want. So me telling myself you can't have ice cream until doesn't work because I'm an adult. I can make these decisions. And so that sort of reward or motivation just doesn't kick them into gear. And I can understand that. I also just, from my point of view, with the way my brain works, it's like, well, have I done enough? And should I have the ice cream now or later? Or, you know, I promised myself this reward of ice cream, but now I'm feeling like I haven't done enough exercise in the past 5 days, so maybe I shouldn't have ice cream because it wouldn't be healthy for me or, you know, whatever. And then I get tired and just eat all the ice cream anyway. So I hope I'm not making you eat ice cream by just mentioning it. It's interesting. And the other thing, you know, Scotty said about working, and then saying, now I can have 2 days off. Yep, that's good. And sometimes rest is a good reward. But I sort of feel like rest is more important than that. Rest is something that needs to be built into our lives, not as a reward, but just as a part of the rhythm of life, the ebb and flow. So I'm very strong on taking 1 day off a week to rest and then having a bit of a rest, you know, a weekend once a quarter or something like that, where you stop and rest. And then your 4 weeks holidays a year, because yes, I'm in Australia, that's the way we look at it, or your 2 weeks if you only get two or whatever, booked in ahead of time so that no matter what's going on, you can rest. Because if you're built like me, if your brain works like mine, then resting as a reward doesn't work because there's always so much more work to do. Like, even if I've finished a book, there's the next book to start. Even if I have no editing work on my plate, then there's maintenance to do on the house and there's gardening and there's all, you know, there's so much more to do. And if you're a mum of small kids, you're just like, ha, 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 rest, sure. You know, like, it's just one of those things where I think it's more important to book that in, to make it part of your lifestyle and something that you do because it's part of the rhythm of life, work hard, rest loose, rather than a reward for work done. When you're a child and you have a small list of tasks to do, then it makes sense to say work your way through the tasks and when you're finished, you can rest. When you're a child, you don't have all those other responsibilities on you that just come weighing in when you've finished the task. When you're an adult, it's sort of like, oh, well, if you finished that, you obviously didn't have enough on your list in the first place, and so you need to add more to your list from your other list that you know is in the back of your mind of all the things you should be doing but you can't do because you don't have time because you've got all these other things to do. So, yeah, rest is a reward. I'm not entirely sure. I really do think that it needs to be more about the natural consequences of the actions. So the reward for doing exercise is a clearer mind and a fitter body that can move. And definitely the mental health reward for fitness work was something that kept me going for a whole year where I wouldn't have worked on fitness before that. So, yeah, that sort of reward. The reward for, as I said, cleaning your kitchen is a clean kitchen. The reward for washing the sheets on your bed is that you get nice clean sheets. And I don't know if you can hear my very noisy washing machine rattling away as it finishes up the sheets that I put on today. So I'm getting nice clean sheets going. I think that's a really healthy and sensible way to think about a reward. And I went on to Facebook and asked people about this because I'm very interested in how different people's brains work. And I got some nice comments. So somebody said, nothing like a to-do list and the satisfaction of ticking things off at the end of the day. Well, that works for me. I love a good list and the satisfaction of ticking it off. And talking to Scotty about exploring different options, I've had to explore different ways of working with a to-do list. So I tried doing it on my phone as an electronic to-do list, and the satisfaction of swiping it and having it disappear just wasn't enough for me. I need to be able to look back at the list at the end of the day and say, look at all these things I crossed off. I've done enough for today. That's my day's work, and I feel really good about it. So I find that even with that to-do list, I need to have it on paper so that I can see what I've done and see that it's crossed off. But yeah, I know for a lot of people, having a to-do list is one of the things that helps them get the jobs done just for the satisfaction of crossing it off. And also, if you do a job and it wasn't on your to-do list to start off with, put it on the list and then cross it off. It's all good. It's all fair. Somebody else wrote, having the kitchen clean and tidy is a good feeling. And it is. And you sit back and you look after yourself. I tell you something that really works well is before and after photos. So when I'm working in the garden, which is irregular, so it's always a big job, and I need to get better at doing regular maintenance, but anyway, when I'm working in the garden, very often I will take a before photo, do all the weeding, and take an after photo just so I can see the difference. Because it's never going to look like a very well, beautifully landscaped garden done, taken care of by a wonderful gardener, because that's just not the case. But if I can see the job well done, if I don't take the before and after photos, then it just looks like it should look at the end of the day. And I think, oh, well, did I really achieve anything? And I need to know where it came from and where it is now, so that I feel some satisfaction in the job that's well done. So, yeah. So having the kitchen clean and tidy, well, if you're struggling to do that sort of thing, take a before photo, spend 5 minutes cleaning the kitchen, take an after photo and look at the difference between the two and say, look at that. Look at the difference I made. Look what I did. It can help you in that sort of reward feeling. Someone else wrote, simply knowing I can achieve what needs to be done and when it is complete, that is sufficient. So just knowing that I'm in charge of it, and that I can do it, and then doing it, and then saying, I did that. That's just enough of a reward for that person. Well, somebody else said, how did you motivate yourself? And they wrote, the feeling of failure and impending doom. She doesn't want to mess up. And yeah, I know that sometimes we use these negative feelings to motivate ourselves. And look, it works, but it doesn't work long term, I don't think, to you've got the carrot and you've got the stick, and I'm talking all about the carrot here. I think focusing on the stick, focusing on the I'll fail if I don't get there, is not a way to have a joyous, creative process going on. And I would much prefer for you to sort of say, well, let's see what we can do. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Seth Godin has a saying, this might not work. And I think that's one way to get yourself going, is because the feeling of failure often just leads to procrastination. So instead of starting and possibly failing, which you don't want to do, you need to sort of get rid of that impending doom feeling and say, I'm starting, it might not work, and I'm still valuable even if it doesn't. And I would hate for that feeling of failure to be something that is dogging you all your day. So just remember that whatever happens, whether your project works or doesn't work, and no matter how you motivate yourself, you are still valuable. Really want to make sure that you know that. Anyway, so finally, the other comment that I got was, sometimes it's accountability. Oh, accountability. So thank you, Marianne, for this comment, because accountability is a really good way to motivate yourself. It's not necessarily a reward, unless you feel a great reward from going to your accountable person and saying, I did it. And you can do that every day. Like, it depends on what you're doing. But if you can find someone you can trust who can hold a mirror up to you and say, this is what you're doing, reflect back to you, that's fantastic. Find an accountability buddy and be accountable to them. So I have a friend right now who is working on a challenge in her life, and every day she sends me a text and says, I did well or I didn't do well. And then I either write back, well done, or we'll try again tomorrow. It's not a long in-depth conversation. It's just a little touch every day of this person who I am her accountability buddy, and it's helpful to her. I have the same thing with Moz, which I'm very fortunate to have him as my accountability buddy. It's helpful. And it's not always like that in a marriage partnership, and I understand that. But Moz is a great accountability buddy because I can have him to say, oh, I've worked on this today, or I've done this many hours today, and I need to be open because, yes, the temptation is to watch Netflix all day. I'm at home by myself, so I need someone to be accountable to and say, I've done this, I've done that. And that's really, really helpful. So having that accountability is another motivator. I'm not sure that it comes under reward, but it definitely can be a motivator. So sometimes accountability helps. Sometimes, going back to Marion's comment, a deadline, so a self-imposed deadline or another deadline, can get you off the couch and doing the work. Sometimes it's an intrinsic reward, which is what I've been talking about, the reward of the job well done, the reward of saying, yes, I finished. And occasionally it's a chance to choose what I do with my time when the task is complete, coffee/chocolate/book/creative time. So yeah, there are many different ways of motivating yourself to do a job, and there are many different ways of rewarding yourself that you've got the job done. And I think that what I said to Scotty is what I want to leave you with. Have a go at different types of rewards. If you're finding that you're not feeling great about one way of rewarding yourself, have a go at another way. If you're finding that you just are not getting motivated to reach your goals, find an accountability buddy. Figure out a special piece of cake that you're going to give yourself when you're finished, or think about the reward of the job well done, or buy yourself some stickers at the local store and start your star chart. I would love to hear from you. I really would. As I'm trying to put a chapter about rewards in my next book, I would love to hear what else people use to reward themselves, or what they find works to motivate themselves to do the job. And so feel free, as always, to write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or find me at Ruth Amos Author on Facebook, or at Quiet Life Blog on Twitter. And I would just love to hear from you. What do you do to reward yourself? How do you motivate yourself to reach those goals using those systems that we've talked about the last few weeks? And I will chat to you again soon.